Now, tonight I'm going to be starting a new series of topics based around the tarot cards. And I thought it was time to start going through the tarot, because on other shows over the years, and geez, I've been hosting this show for a few years now, and it's amazing that it's been that long, but yeah, we've covered topics on the science of Kabbalah, which is also known as the Tree of Life, topics on astrology or mystical astrology, which we just finished with Pisces. And I was thinking, what else could we cover? And I thought, oh, the tarot. And so, yeah, tonight's the first of that series. And I wanted to begin by summarising some points from the introduction to tarot talk given by another Gnostic instructor, Davin Thomas, who is, as you would know if you listen to this show, an instructor in Portland, Oregon. And he gave a talk on the other Gnostic web radio site, which is Karate Radio. And he explained in his talk, which I'm just going to summarise for this talk, is that the Master Samael, who's the founder of this modern Gnostic movement, he talks about the Tarot and Kabbalah in a particular book. And he uses the Egyptius Kir Tarot, which is the ancient Egypt symbology particular. I think if you Googled that, then you would find other set that he uses. And then he explains that there's so many other tarot decks. There's up to maybe 100,000 different types of tarots. The most popular ones are the Rider-Waite, and then he mentioned the Crowley Toth decks. So there's a lot of them. And he said that the major difference between the Kir tarot, we'll call it, that the Master Samael uses and the others, is that the others, they split up the major arcanum and the minor arcanum, because we know there's the 22, 1 to 22 is the major, and then 23 to 76 are the minor. And so in the Egyptian ones, they're just listed as 1 to 76, whilst in the other decks, they split them into their groups. And they also have the suits there that you might be familiar with. He also was mentioning that more of the commonly used decks, not the Egyptian ones, often depict life scenes in their symbol than pictures. And so it's more focused on a predictive use. What will the future be like? You know, will I find love, or, you know, will I prosper in this business? Those types of questions. Whilst with the Egyptian ones that Samael uses, it's more about unveiling the science of the spiritual path or the initiatic path. And so they can also be used in a predictive manner, of course, but that is not their main focus. It's more about explaining how these cards can help us on our own spiritual path. He also mentions that there's no card number zero in the Egyptian ones. The full card is depicted in card number 21. So that's the other difference between those types of tarots, you could say. So I'll try and keep these talks to a very introductory level, so anyone that is familiar or not familiar with Gnosis, sorry, with the tarot, is going to be able to learn something. But definitely more of the explanations on the mystical aspects, how we can relate it to the spiritual path. Now, it's said that the angel Metraton, also known as Enoch, delivered the teachings of the tarot, in which the entirety of divine wisdom is enclosed. So if we learn about the tarot, then we learn about everything in life. Everything is enclosed in there. And the angel also left the teachings of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we may or may not know that those letters relate very strongly to the tarot and Kabbalah. In fact, tarot, Kabbalah and alchemy are three sciences that are very much intertwined. And so when we study one, it helps us to understand the other. And so, yeah, but different forms of teachings educate us in different ways. And with the tarot is particularly, it's more about the symbols that are used and the pictures. So just as a reminder, I've put the tarot card number one, the magician, up on the website, gnosticwaves.com, so gnosticwaves.com, and on the opening page you can see that, because I'll be referring to the symbols in that tarot card. So hopefully it's there. If you're listening to the recording, obviously it's going to, the tarot will be next to the link to the recording. So if you, I don't know, driving your car and you hear a bit of a snippet of the show and you think, oh, I'd really like to know more about the tarot, then do go and look on the website, maybe give it a week or so before I put up the recording and listen, and you can listen to that. I'll probably be doing one card a month, so slowly get through them all. Okay. So yes, whilst we start to teach the tarot intellectually through introducing concepts, the aim is not to get stuck in the concepts. The aim is for those teachings to impact the heart directly, as it's meant to. It's meant to educate the heart and the consciousness. And then we can start to actually understand the real spirit of these teachings and how deep and profound they are. If not, we get trapped by these concepts and we just learn new concepts that replace old concepts, and we gain information in the intellect, but our consciousness is not any more awakened. So we're still doing the same things, acting the same way. We just have more knowledge in our heads, but we keep doing the same things, making the same mistakes. So we want these teachings and principles to go right in there if possible. Understanding tarot is really useful as a tool for the work on ourselves. If we start to learn and understand this language of the symbols, then they can teach us directly. And it's important to learn these types of languages because the higher parts of our being relies or uses more imaginative knowledge, knowledge of pictures, of symbols, of words, archetypes and numbers. And the tarot provides all of this. So if you are remembering your dreams and you write them down and you're vigilant with trying to analyze your dreams, then what you'll find is the more you start to learn about things like tarot and other esoteric topics, then they're going to enter into your dream world, because you're educating yourself with these symbols, and then they go into the subconscious, and then they are then tools that can be used, and they have a definite meaning. Because you've introduced them as a symbol, you know what their meaning is, and then it helps for our higher being to communicate with us, if we get what I'm trying to say. So the tarot is a tool for our consciousness first and foremost. Now, before I get into the first tarot, it's also referred to as the arcanum. So I've tried not to use the word because I realize it's a word that maybe people aren't familiar with, but the word arcanum means secret or mystery. So if we say the first arcanum or the first tarot card, it means like the first mystery or the first secret. And until we know them, they are a mystery to us. So just if that word comes up. Okay, now, the magician. So the first arcanum, or tarot card, is the magician. That which begins, that which starts. It is the unity, the divine spirit of each person, the divine monad or immortal spark of every human being, of every creature. So really what this card is representing here is our own divinity. More particularly the masculine part of our divinity, because we've talked many times, but if you're new to the show, we have a masculine part of our divinity. We also have a feminine part. And when we cover card number two, which is the priestess, that is more about the feminine part of our higher self. But in the, number one, it's the masculine part. We all have our divinity within us. And it's the number one. It represents a unity, and it is really the real purpose of our life. And so the spiritual path that we are aspiring to is to really become unified with that spiritual part of ourselves again, and yeah, to be complete in that respect. So in practical life, anything that begins is the first tarot card. So it's trying to make us see that anything we in life, so a new job, a new project, a new relationship, all is represented by the first card. It's a starting point. And so if we're not so interested in the spiritual path, then we can understand this card as the starting point that we allows us to move forward, which we'll explain when I go through the rest. Well, it says, it's easy to comprehend that there is difficulty in everything that begins, which is why it is necessary to work very hard in the beginning. In order to harvest, we need to plant. This is why in the first card we find the unity of the original principle, you could say of creation. The origin of unity comes from the first card because it is clear that everything begins with the number one. The unity, the number one, is the divine monad. It is the Father who is in secret. Each one of us has our own individual being. Madame Blavatsky, the founder of the Theosophical Society, stated that there are as many fathers in heaven as there are human beings on earth. So it's kind of expanding our understanding of what the Father is. We think when in the traditional Christian perspective we have like one Father, but we have there are as many fathers as there are human beings, because we all have our own individual being, our own individual monad. Actually, as an aside, there's also as many mothers in heaven as there are human beings on earth. So we all have our own particular divine mother as well. But yeah, as I said, we'll go into those aspects in the next card and the card after that. So the being in us needs us to awaken our consciousness and dissolve the ego. So all the lessons and the teachings that we acquire in life, in a way, we swap with our being, and the being gives us the wisdom and the teachings of the higher worlds that we are lacking and want to know more of. And I wanted to share an experience I had recently about our part. So we as the human beings, or as the essence, we aspire to know our divinity. And as I said before, that is the initiatic path. Is to know our divinity and to get closer to it, or, you know, simply put. But we have a role. Our role is to observe ourselves, observe these egos, and then work to comprehend them. And then we take the comprehension we have, we ask the Divine Mother to help us in the dissolution and this liberating the essence. Now, really, our role is quite simple, in that we work to observe ourselves and work on comprehending. But we want more. We think that we expand our role to be more than that. And so then we get it gets complicated. But really, if we, it's like we need to learn how to work in a team again. We need to know our part. We need to know the different parts of our being, the divine mother, the masculine part, the father. And each of those parts has their role. But we can't give our role away to someone else, which someone at a retreat recently said, Carl, who's been on this show before, said that we try and give, pass on our responsibility to other parts of our being. But really, we just need to focus on ours. And it's quite, if we see it in that way, it's very accomplishable, but it takes that trust, that reliance and, mainly trust in those other parts of our being. But it's interesting because if you relate to working in a team in the physical world, it's exactly the same. Like if you're in a job and you have different roles that each person does and you need to rely on those other people to do their role so you can do your role and vice versa. So it's exactly the same in the physical world as it is in the esoteric or the spiritual realms. So, yeah, just wanted to share that reflection. Okay, well, let's just take a short music break and then we can continue on with this topic. This is a track called The Boat of a Million Years by Ali Jihad Rassi. It's Egyptian music, I thought might be appropriate given the topic. So we'll be back in a short while. And you're back on the Gnostic Waves. And I've been reviewing the tarot card number one, the Magician, of the Egyptian type tarot deck. Now, I was just saying that the card number one is about initiating, beginning something. So obviously it can apply to starting of any project, but particularly our spiritual work and that path to our being. So I'm going to start going through the symbols of the card. And as I mentioned before, on the website, gnosticwaves.com, that I've put the image up there on the home page. So at the top you have some eyes, and it says that the eyes in the superior part of the card represent the eyes of the Father. Internally, they represent the infinite. So as a commentary, in the infinite, eternal, that energy that always has been, always will be, undergoing incessant transformations. So we exist in a temporal sense. So our physical body is temporal. It has a certain time span, and then afterwards, after we die, we are the eternal aspects of ourself move on and take on new physical bodies. So it's that eternal principle that we're interested in building on, developing, because we can become conscious of these processes and not lose consciousness between lives. So that this is part of the aim of this work. These eyes represent also the sign of infinity, or the holy eight. And this is a very important and interesting symbol. It encloses, defines and joins the magnetic currents that are established between the terrestrial and the spiritual man. So that's like the physical man, the physical material and the spiritual man. This sign joins or separates all of the elements which are controlled by the atomic energy. If it is traced with the middle finger, index finger and the thumbs over the surface of the cardiac plexus. So we'll be doing this practice towards the end. So essentially it's tracing the figure eight, or the sign of the infinity, over the heart or the cardiac plexus area. And as part of the connecting with that symbol. So it's not just seeing it in the card, we can also learn about it by tracing it over ourselves. So it's, these symbols are pretty powerful like that. And the infinity one is a powerful sign. So just to summarize that, that line, that paragraph, our being is the true, real and eternal principle within us. And so that's what we want to connect with and know more about. Okay. So the magician is in profile, showing his right side, which represents the manifested being, and the left, the unmanifested. So this is quite a profound teaching. If we know about the Kabbalah, then we can understand this better, in that there is a part of our divinity that is manifest and we can know through creation, and then there is an unmanifested side. And so we can often call that the absolute abstract space. And that absolute is beyond words, beyond anything that we can explain. So it's very difficult. It's beyond relativity and duality. It is just what it is. It's absolute. And so this is very profoundly represented in this, the way this man is facing, the magician is facing in this picture. So yeah, there's a knowable and unknowable part of our divinity. He has a serpent on his forehead, and the serpent shows that he's a self-realized master. So when we understand the process of the initiatic path and the raising of the serpent, the divine mother Kundalini, then it's represented by the serpent. And in that tradition, the Egyptian tradition, says how it manifested. The left hand shows the staff of power. So he's holding a staff. And this represents, again, the spinal column and the initiations, as the creative energies go up the spine and the serpents awaken symbolically up the spine too. This staff of power, or the spine, is our source, our source of our force. Really, it's our creative energies that's well directed, transmuted and sublimated, that provides us with this force. But again, that symbol represents that power that we have within the spinal column. So his right hand points towards the earth, indicating that he dominates it with science, and that one has to rise up from below. So there is knowledge of that law, that for one to ascend, one must first descend. And so we need to know really ourselves, all the different parts of ourself, the subconscious areas that are quite dark to us. So we have to know them before we can raise up to the light, you could say. And so this teaching is represented in that way. And you often do see that symbol where a master is pointing up with one hand and down with another. It's a very common symbol. And often it's also very similar to the symbol of, like, one hand giving and one hand receiving, that you see often in, like, Oriental statues or Buddhas. And so, they're slightly different in their meaning, but they're also, you know, showing that duality that exists, and that we work with both those forces, in the work. Okay, so there is a triangle on his dress with a vortex pointing upwards. This represents the three primary forces reunited in Keter. So, again, referring to the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, and the three, the Sephirotic Crown. It also have their point of origin, or their balance in the Keter, in the number one. So, by his side is a table which represents the four elements, which is the earth, water, fire and air. And this represents the physical plane, the material plane. So this is where the being becomes self-realized. Without the physical plane, without the physical body, that our being wouldn't be able to realize himself. He'd just be a being in the absolute, and there'd be nothing, no knowledge of what that means. And so through the process of unfolding into creation and the material existence, then that work can begin, the self-realization and liberation can begin. So that table represents the body, the material. And it also is holding, it's also got on top of it various symbols, which are quite significant. And these symbols are a sword, we've got a chalice or a vase, and a moon. So the sword, or the sword of power, and the vase are alchemical symbols. They relate to the use of our creative energies. And our creative energies is our life force energies. That's where our power and strength comes from, and the whole initiatic path has a very strong foundation in those energies. The moon is there to be converted into a sun, and so that's another symbology of the process of our transformation, working with those lunar energies and transforming them into solar ones. So these objects are, sorry, the objects are all in front of the magician there. He has to learn how to use them. And to help in this process is the sacred ibis that's under the table. And this represents the force of the Holy Spirit that organizes the objects on the table. So it's a force that helps with the order. It's interesting because you try and see this from someone that has heard this for the first time, and it's quite strange that the bird there would be used to help to put order in the symbols, but that's just the language of the consciousness. And it's interesting because the bird is under the table, so, and our creative energies rise up the spine, so from the reproductive organs up the spine, and so in that way that the bird is under the table makes sense to the work as we know it. Okay. Then we have a cubic stone, which is in the lower part. And the lower part of these cards generally represent the waters. So that's in the waters, which is our own creative energies. Now, this stone is a perfected stone, so it's quite smooth. It has been worked on. And that symbol of the stone is also very well known, particularly in Freemasonry. So if you go to the Freemason lodges, you'll see that in one of their, I don't know what the word is, like one of their podiums has a stone, but it's a rough stone. It's not smooth at all. And then in another part of the temple, you see a stone that is more, is more worked on. It's smooth. It's a proper cubic stone. And so that has deep symbology about the work that we do on ourselves. So if we like the stone, and then with the rough edges, and then slowly through the work, we, with our tools, we work to smooth the edges of the cube, and thus have that solid foundation. And we understand this, again, is the work with the creative energies. So, yeah. So here we have this magician. It's showing us that when we want to start on the path, that we have everything that we need to begin and to walk the path. And we, as I said before, we can also apply this to any situation in life if we use this these cards in a predictive way, that if we get this card, we have everything that we need. We've got all the tools. We just have to put them into use. And often that's the hardest part, is actually just to take it from something from a planning stage into an action stage, and just taking necessary risks and just doing what we need to do, and trusting that we have everything that we need, and also we have the strength and the guidance of our inner divinity to help us. So we just need to do our part and trust in the parts of everyone else. So in the spiritual sense, we trust in the other parts of our being. In the physical sense, we trust that I do my bit, and then, you know, someone else does their bit, and it all comes together to move forward and to be a success in whatever pursuit we're working towards. So this card, it in the spiritual sense, it represents our being, our higher power, who gives us everything that we need. We may not get everything we want, but we definitely get what we need. It gives us hope. And if we can trust in our inner self, our inner being, who is the real magician, then we can do anything. Unfortunately, we have this thing in us called pride, and this pride stops us from realizing our true capacity and realizing that we can achieve whatever it is that we set out to do, that's in our heart. So it's pride, it's fear, it's skepticism. They all cause us to be self-sufficient. So we don't rely on anyone else. We don't work as a team. And this causes ignorance, and it stops us from really knowing ourselves, knowing our being, and to cooperate with people, with anything, with anyone. And that can be a real blockage to any type of progress, because a lot of things require help from other people working together. And yes, if we take on too much ourselves, we probably might get overwhelmed and, yeah, may get disheartened and not have the force to continue, even though we've got it within us and we've got all the tools that we need within us. So before we go to a music break and a practice, I wanted to read the back of the tarot card. So each of them has a little spiel that summarizes the significance of the card. So I thought it might be useful. Like, you could say more in the predictive sense if you drew this card, what it gives you some words on what to reflect on and what it means. Because when we use the cards in that type of way, we have to work a lot with our intuition as well. So it's a really good tool to help us to go beyond the intellect and work with our intuition. So it says, the first arcanum signifies that which initiates, that which starts, that which is sown, that which begins. Every beginning is difficult. One has to work hard because one has to sow in order to reap. This arcanum gives aptitude in order to resolve problems. It grants power as much for awakening as for dominating passions in the physical world. It tends towards the organization of the natural elements and towards the forces in movement. Gives aptitude in order to acquire, dispose, modulate, and apply. The first arcanum is the unity, the principle of the light, the Father, the world as a manifestation, the human being as a complete living unity within himself, the foundation of reason of all actions, the synthesis of all, the initiation into the mysteries, and the power to decipher and to be served by them, the volitional power. The first arcanum gives triumph, but with struggles due to karma. Well, we cover karma in card number 5, just, you know, as a heads up. The transcendental axiom of this card is, be thou in thy deeds as thou art in thy thoughts. So again, we can, within that summary there is all the aspects we've been talking about, and particularly that last one, be in your deeds as you are in your thoughts. So if you have plans and put them into action, and you know we've got everything there that we need to succeed. Okay, let's go to another short music break, and then we'll be back to do the meditation practice. This track is called The Lamentations of Isis by the same Ali Jihad Rasi. And you're back on the Gnostic Waves. We're about to enter into a meditation practice. Practice related to the tarot card we've been going through tonight. First Arcanum, number one, the Magician. So just taking some time to prepare the body to sit in one position and to relax. Relax the physical body. Focusing in the breath. Allowing the breath to relax and to soothe. Imagining that energy going through the nervous system, relaxing our nerves, relaxing our muscles, even relaxing the bones. Breathing deeply into the heart and into the solar plexus, releasing any negative or stagnant emotions. Clearing the emotional center. Breathing in, imagining that air going in through the intellectual center, through the mind. Relaxing the mind, relaxing the brain. Thank you. hopefully we're feeling relaxed. Let's take some time to focus on the symbol, the infinity symbol in the mind's eye. The symbol that represents the infinite, represents our being, life, creation. Connecting with that symbol. In a short while, we're going to join our thumb, index and middle finger together, and we're going to trace that symbol over the heart, over the area around the heart as we feel the moment, just concentrating on that symbol in the imagination. We're going to work also with the mantra TUM, that's T-U-M. This mantra helps us to connect to our intimate being. Really want to connect with this force beyond any concepts that we have. The less concepts that we have, the better. After our next breath, we start the mantra TUM. Start tracing the infinity symbol in our own time and our own pace, connecting with the reality, with the force of that symbol beyond any concept we have. Connecting with our inner being. state of being is quite simple. We have a tendency to overcomplicate this force. In synthesis, our being is love. Connecting to that principle, however it feels right for you. Continuing to trace the infinity sign. Working with the mantra Tum another 3 times. Resting, relaxing. Connecting with that inner being, that magician, as best we can, in a natural way. So now slowly we, in this practice, in our own way, in our own heart, giving thanks to the inner being within us.